Michael McKibben, Tyla, and Douglas Gabriel here, the Voices of America. We have a big show today. It's a very important show, and we hope that once you hear this important message that you will send it downline and get it out to as many folks as possible. Michael, you say that the Republic is in clear and present danger.
Yes. What we have discovered in this evidence from the IRS reports is that the former Fed chairman, Paul Volcker, and Henry Kissinger were officers of the Pilgrim Society in 2007, 2008, during the bank bailout, quote, crisis. And by the, especially Volcker, Volcker was announced by Obama in early November. In fact, the day after Obama was elected, he announced his first meetings were with Volcker to put him on the board to advise him on the economic policy. So what that shows us is that the White House was hijacked by the top economic advisor, Paul Volcker, and the top foreign policy advisor, Henry Kissinger. And everything that we see occurring now is the fruit of that poisonous tree. That, by definition, proves that the Republic itself is in clear and present danger. And that requires martial law, because martial law is intended when the normal functions of government aren't working. And that is clearly proven here by the sedition of these two men and all of their accomplices, including everyone who was a participant in the Clinton Global Initiative gala event. And now we know it was about 500 companies and individuals. We're still processing those names and their backgrounds, but it is quite evident that the Pilgrim Society was expanding their reach to include NGOs and foundations like the foundations started by the founders of eBay, Facebook, Google, Bill and Melinda Gates, and a whole host of current foundations that are putting in hundreds of millions, probably billions of dollars into the Black Lives Matter demonstrations and firebombings that are occurring all over the country. So this proves that very nefarious foreign agents have been running our country for way too long, and it's time for a president who believes in the Republic, which I believe that President Trump does, must step in and declare martial law in order to give us time to fix this.
Well, I think that's a great idea. And unfortunately, probably the crux of the whole matter is that the Department of Justice isn't doing their job. Because if they did, anybody could look out and see all the tax evasion going on. If they did, they could look out and see the 501c3s that are hiding under tax-exempt status are actually driving the political machinery of partisanism to the point of extreme left, literally beyond socialism into fascism, to the point that they have, you know, they have to use newspeak, they have to use doublespeak. Antifa, anti-fascism, hello, they're the fascists. How could they possibly say they're anti-fascist? So when you got Paul Volcker and Henry Kissinger, both Pilgrim Society members and a 501c3, they're insiders.
Hang on. Not just members, they're officers.
Right.
At the time of the White House takeover.
Matter of fact, vice presidents, or were they?
They were vice presidents of the Pilgrim Society, which means we had a British takeover of the Obama White House.
And wasn't Kissinger knighted by the Queen, which then he gave his, if or any kind of order that she took him into, he would have given his fealty to. But remember, Henry Kissinger has been a turncoat from the time he turned on his own people in Germany, and then he came to America, and then he went to war in Germany, and then he joined the OSS and turned against the German people again, and then he went to the Brits, and then he became a Brit, and then he came to America acting as if he's an American when he's actually now a Chinese agent. That's where his money's tied up. That's where all of his efforts go. So I've never heard you say this before, and you and your researchers, that we're at the point that the Republic is There's sedition, insurrection going on. It's an attempt for a coup d'etat of a president, as well as we have found out the underbelly of the dragon of DC is so corrupt that everywhere we look, you have so much indictable evidence on the people in Washington, D.C., on Americans for Innovation, all your friends who work on that, that all you'd have to do is go there, collect the evidence, and you'd be able to put all these people down. And it couldn't get any worse than the Clinton Global Initiative. We can talk about the way that the State Department was sold out and was nothing more than an extension of the Clinton Global Initiative. Jonathan Weiner told us that, because he's a whiner. And when he got fired, he actually left. He jumped ship. He told us all that was going on and who was controlling it, APCO Worldwide. And he's, you know, the major leader of APCO Worldwide. He actually stated in one of his statements, and this is what's shocking, no one knows how much money Hillary Clinton collected for her Clinton Foundations, Global Initiative, and others while she was Secretary of State. We thought, because we saw, what was it, $400 million come to Bill Clinton through the Clinton Justra Initiative. All these different foundations have different names. So right there, you know, that's a good chunk of money. We saw $145 million come for the Uranium One CFIUS scandal, which Hillary was, of course, fully aware of. And we've seen all the countries that she went to where she set a record for visiting more countries when she was Secretary of State than any other Secretary of State in history. And she went to our enemies too, which no one has ever done that. No one has ever said, well, I'm just going to go hang out with our enemies and have a private talk with them. Why weren't those recorded and shared like Trump's conversation with the head of Ukraine? If any of those conversations were ever taped, it would be simply this, quid pro quo.
Yeah, well, Bill, it's obvious now that Bill and Hillary Clinton were just following the Pilgrim Society orders. So there was no original thinking going on. They were doing exactly what they were told to do. And what we can now see is that the purpose of the Clinton Global Initiative was to allow the Pilgrim Society to gather all of their minions from around the planet, and specifically to empower NGOs and foundations to be the new mechanism by which USAID and OPIC and all these fundings controlled by the Secretary of State could pass money out of the country through foreign bank accounts into projects that were hundreds of millions of dollars and where nothing was done except the money disappeared. And that became a mechanism by which these foundations enriched themselves. And they were all nonprofit, 501c3 nonprofits. And by definition, that is illegal criminal activity. And so that's why we think that the only way to fix this is to call a stop on the functions of government, because they're not functioning. They're not stopping these people. These people are not new. They've been around a long time. And yet we've got an IRS that is actually aiding and abetting them, because in each case, when you actually go look at the IRS documents, some IRS agent, and actually there's one guy, approved these 501c3 operations, including the Pilgrim Society, which is ludicrous. I mean, it's just beyond laughable that the IRS would give approval for the Pilgrim Society to be a nonprofit corporation as if they're benefiting all of Americans. Well, I didn't get the memo. I didn't get the benefit. I don't think you did either. And I think most Main Street Americans would say, this has got to stop. And the only way that can stop at this level, since the government, like you said, the Department of Justice is not doing their job. The Department of Commerce is not. The Department of Commerce has given all of our patents over to the British Serco Company. And we just go right down the line. The FEC, the FCC, the Securities and Exchange Commission, they're all broken because they've allowed these people to do whatever they wanted to get to this point. And therefore, we don't have any regulatory mechanisms that can stop this. That's why the president needs to move now and declare martial law and get this information out on the table so it can be fixed. because I think they've run roughshod over our institutions so long that our institutions can't respond to this.
You are so right, and we can underscore that with so many facts. For instance, the refugees that used to come into the country, they were handled by over 100 different organizations, all which were, in fact, agents of the Roman Catholic Church. We'll call it Pope Francis. Pope Francis got paid billions of dollars a year for bringing people into this country that we didn't screen and we never even saw. We might pick them up from the airport and deliver them to wherever these Catholic, and they actually call Lutheran, they call Method. They're all, most of them are fake. They actually are simply there as a charity to steal money from the government and to do no good for the people that they say that they're supposed to be serving. And that's why their tax-exempt status needs to be stricken. And that's why those agencies, I think there's 140 of them or so, 120, 140, and each of those agencies is a criminal enterprise, and it goes, the money goes right back to the Catholic Church, and the donations from the Catholic Church to help those agencies goes right back to the Catholic Church without helping any refugees. That's the tip of the iceberg. George Soros, $18 billion, just 2 years ago, gave $18 billion, which of course he stole from America through stock exchange predatory economics, through his quantum fund and others, pay no taxes. These hedge funds pay no taxes whatsoever. And they have clever ways of doing that. But the point is, he paid no taxes. $18 billion he poured back into 184 non-government organizations, all under the auspices of foundations like his foundation, the Tides Fund, or the Open Society Foundation, which had Brits from the Privy Council on it from its foundation. He now has taken over the funding, the charitable funding for Black Lives Matter and for Antifa. And if you don't believe me, you can go check it out, make a donation. It used to go to the International Development Exchange, and then they had to hide it, and then it went to Thousand Curtains, and then they had to hide it, and then it went to Act Blue, which is the exact organization that collects for the Democratic National Committee. Same organization, and 83% of it goes to Act Blue, which goes to the Democratic National Committee. So when you're donating to Black Lives Matter, you're donating to Biden. When you're donating to Antifa, you're also donating to the organizing group behind it, which is also another 501c3, the corrupt Obama Foundation, called Organizing for Action, which did all kinds of fancy theft. And because they're tax-free and tax-exempt, they can actually do business much better than the rest of us because they don't have those taxes hanging over their heads. So as you said, our government has failed. And if you take the 56 federal agencies, you need to probably close down most of them, or because they are corrupt organizations that I am now believing, because they're run by the senior executive service members who are, in fact, a Democratic resistance against Trump.
Well, can I be more specific here? They are a tool, an offspring of the Crown Agents and the British Pilgrim Society run by the Privy Council. That's who runs SES. That's real clear now. Yeah. So we've got a foreign government. We have a foreign government that has committed espionage against our country, and we have complicit Americans who have committed treason and sedition by allowing this to continue. And I don't believe there's probably very few people in Washington that don't know this is going on. And yet all we hear out on Main Street are crickets. And that's why we've elected a president who we want to protect the Republic. And I think he came in there thinking he could use his negotiating skills to convince these people that there's a better way. But now we see this agenda, it is over 100 years old, and there's no way that these people are going to change course at this stage. And hopefully he's realized that now. And we have, our researchers all over the world have put out so much indictable evidence that it's now time to use that evidence, Mr. President. We've given you the tools to start these indictments almost immediately. You don't need years and months. How long has Bill Barr been in his job? And who has he prosecuted based on this evidence? No one. And therefore, that shows me that the normal mechanisms of government are broken and can't be fixed. And we need our president to act.
And on top of this, we're recording this today, September 11th, 2020, 19 years after the World Trade Center destruction. And we all know that it was a demolition. And we've been working on solving that for all these years, you, Michael, and Douglas, and myself, just to find out that the same people that were running that operation are involved in this latest, this operation for global genocide that's run through the World Health Organization. Douglas put together an article that showed how America, how the United States ceded its authority and its sovereignty over to a global entity. And I'm incensed to find the list of senators and representatives who voted this. And I say, and Richard Burr is at the top of the list. So what they've done is they kind of nudged this through little bit by little bit. What I want to see, and I know that you guys are nice and you wouldn't say these words, but I'm saying it as a mother of seven children and hopefully some grandchildren on the way. I want these people hauled out of their offices, be shown their crimes in front of the whole world in a Nuremberg style trial. And I want to see them hanged. I want to see them hang by the neck until they're dead, dead, dead. And the reason I say that is if we do not take care of the mess that has been and the evil that has been created in this world now and with boldness and with swiftness, our children are going to live through all of this and be trafficked for the rest of their lives. Douglas, can you speak to the legislation that you found to back me up on this?
Well, we called it the pandemic laws because just like everything else, when you see the federal government, who is basically systemic criminality, and you see this British aristocracy of the senior executive service, it's absolute criminality and you can't miss it. So what we said was, oh, look, the pandemic is going on. Let's see the laws, because there have to be really, really nasty laws that allow this to happen for them to do it. With no compunction, with complete immunity, complete impunity of the law. So we looked it up, and there are four laws that started this. One goes back, basically the first health law for emergencies. And what does it say? It says the president's in charge, and the director of health and human services does whatever they can, gathers the information, does, you know, all the professionalism, gives it to the president. The president's in charge. If there's an emergency, the president calls the emergency. The president.
Well, that's what most people on Main Street believe.
Yeah. Well, the second law then said, nope, sorry. Now the president, it's in the hands of the director of health and human services, and the president was taken out of the equation right there at the second law. So you can just go right down the list and you can see how that creep, which really is not a creep, it's a outright sedition, was built into these laws as they changed. And they did the same trick they always do with the National Defense Authorization Act. They wait till the last minute, and then they say, oh, you have to support it without reading it. Otherwise, our troops won't eat. They'll have no food.
This is a clever lawyer trick.
Absolutely. So what do? They passed these pandemic laws one after the next to reauthorize it with a voice vote in some cases, and it was unanimous. So what they thought was the president's power of emergency control over the country, the whole federal government controlling all the states for health emergencies and other emergencies. Well, that was strengthened by a bunch of executive orders that Obama wrote so that when Hillary came into power, they could put out martial law instantaneously. So Trump has the power, and we are in still emergency conditions and emergency states that he has declared, including the pandemic. Now, after it went to the Department of Health and Human Services, then it went to an assistant to the Director of Health and Human Services. And she is the person in charge of preparedness and countermeasures. And you're like, what? First off, the head of the Health and Human Resources is a political appointee that may only be there for a few minutes. They're not doctors. They don't know what they're doing, and they're political appointees. They shouldn't be running anything.
Can I point out, Douglas, this is their MO. This is how these lawyers escape accountability. They always delegate to someone else. This is why the government loves public-private partnerships, because every government employee, they can blame the private partnership for any problems and therefore maintain their job and never be held accountable. It's a game.
Public-private. That's where it went next. So then the head of preparedness, some bozo right now who was appointed in 2017, I'm not even going to get a credit of giving her name out because she's an idiot. Look at her resume. She doesn't know what she's talking about. She's in charge? Well, by the second or third law, yeah, that person, the assistant secretary of the Health and Human Services Department for Preparedness and Countermeasures, is in charge of everyone in America. And the president by that time was taken out of the equation. They don't even report to him anymore.
Well, and isn't she senior executive services?
Of course. Of course she is. And so is, of course, Alex Azar.
So she's a crown agent.
Yeah, and these are political appointees. They don't know anything. They don't even know these laws exist. I doubt that any of them have sat down and looked at these laws lately because they're very long. They're very complicated. And as we prove in the article, they were written by pharmaceutical lobbyists, the biggest right in the world. That's who wrote the laws. So the lawmakers in Congress and Senate passed it with a voice vote unanimously because no one read it. So by the second iteration, oh, the president was only informed. By the third iteration, the president doesn't even have to be informed. They just informed Congress. And by the fourth iteration, it was that the person in charge of preparedness has to now talk to the CDC, and then later another amendment, the NIH, and then another amendment, this international group that is part of the World Health Organization. So in other words, the president was taken out of the equation, and as you say, we are under assault, and the republic is lost. We now must probably call in the military and have military tribunals, because what has happened is very obvious. The president's authority to guard the Constitution has been flushed down the toilet because of the medical, and which is pharmaceutically backed up, the medical hegemony, which has now been placed in the control of a single individual, and she doesn't have control. She doesn't call the pandemic. The pandemic is called by the World Health Organization and their rules that define a pandemic, which are so nebulous, it's ridiculous. The National Institute of Health supports it, and the Center for Disease Control chimes in. And then the preparedness and countermeasure assistant secretary for Health and Human Services makes the call. One individual took away our sovereignty in America with one call saying it's a pandemic, and there's the rules for when the pandemic are over are so nebulous again that they could stay in place for the rest of our lives, and it's all legal. We must repeal those five laws.
This is the point. This must be rescinded immediately, and if there are any legislators that are listening to this, you need to step up and do it, because I'll tell you what, here's some names from your research that show who was involved in all this. There are a lot. And every congressperson, senator, representative that voted blindly for these laws also needs to be held to scrutiny. But some that need to be outright tried for treason is Richard Burr, Hillary Clinton, Dana Rohrabacher, Elizabeth Warren, Barbara Mikulski, Tom Harkin, Mike Rogers, Lamar Alexander, and your favorite, Michael, Mike DeWine, and Ed Kennedy. These senators have been around for a while. They full well knew what they were doing. They were giving America away to crown agents, and every one of them needs to be tried for treason. I'm just sick of this. And right, let us, while we're talking about Hillary Clinton, you were sharing with us last night some information that the miners found about old Hildebeest.
I don't remember what that was, but on commenting on your list, the challenge, these people aren't going to fix themselves. This is like trying to get an alcoholic to stop drinking. They're not going to stop. That's why there's got to be an intervention. And we have a law for that. It's called martial law. And we are at that stage now. I am totally convinced of that. I do not think these people will choose to do the right thing suddenly. They have chosen to do the wrong thing for probably most of their careers. So they don't know how to do the right thing, and they're not going to do the right thing. And for us to expect that the laws and our courts and our judges and our congressmen are going to fix this problem, it ain't going to happen.
Now, Michael, what you were sharing with some of the early research you're doing is about Hillary Clinton and the involvement in the transition team with Obama and the contract that these evil people signed with each other. Yeah. I mean, this is just huge.
Yeah, and we all recall that there was this generalized discussion that Obama was having with the Clintons on how they could bring her in as Secretary of State when you had this Clinton Foundation with Bill Clinton running all over the planet giving speeches for up to $300,000 to $500,000 a speech. And on the surface, some of our senators and congressmen were concerned that there would be an appearance of a conflict of interest. Duh. Okay, so they went through the motion, they had the hearing, the nomination, and in that nomination, there was a lot of discussion over this thing called a memorandum of understanding that was to guide how Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton continued the operation of the Clinton Foundation, the good work of the Clinton Foundation. And here we see this mountain of doublespeak. If you look at the names of all these organizations, they're all like apple pie and peaches. They all sound good. It's for the children. It's for reconstruction. It's for innovation. It's for the next level of human development. And it just goes on and on. And when you actually read their documents, they have developed this mechanism, way of writing, that says something that on the surface, when you're just scanning, it sounds flowery and okay, and how could I have a problem with that? But when you actually read what they've written, you can't tell what they're going to do. And that is intentional, because their intention is not to do work for the children and feed the hungry and things like this. Their intention is to launder money through these foundations. And so what we saw in this memorandum of understanding, one of our researchers found it. It's about four and a half pages. And in it, it's an agreement between the Clinton Foundation and the Obama transition team. And from a contract law point of view, there's a problem here, because that transition team only was in existence for 108 days. And to give you a telltale sign, there's something fishy about the transition team. There is a half page of Wikipedia text for each day that this organization existed. And this agreement said that Hillary would follow these rules for the life of her time as Secretary of State with this, and it would continue on. But the problem is, on Wikipedia, it says that this organization went out of existence on February 20th. Now, it's unlikely it was ever even incorporated. So therefore, you have this supposed contract, this memorandum of agreement between two entities, the transition team and Clinton Foundation. And yet, one of the parties in this contract went away practically before the ink was dry on the agreement. And in it, we see a very generalized discussion about how they're going to do arm's length transactions, and they're going to avoid the appearance of impropriety, and all very flowery language, and all written by ethics attorneys who don't know what ethics means, in my opinion. And this document was the only document that was cited in the congressional hearing before she was approved as Secretary of State. And some people were quite rightly questioning that document as how could it be effective in stopping conflicts of interest. But that became the blessing that Hillary got for all of her activity within the Clinton Foundation and Clinton Global Initiative during her time as Secretary of State. So if I summarize what I read, it was kabuki theater. It did not mean they weren't going to do any of the things that they sort of seemed to indicate they wouldn't do. And Obama went through the motion of being concerned about conflicts of interest. But now we see from this takeover by Kissinger and Volcker of that White House that the Clinton Foundation was a means for these pilgrims to exercise their control over all of the funding, foreign and economic funding of the United States through these NGOs and through these foundations, most notably the Clinton Foundation. And it was their the way they operated. They were going to operate this way all through Obama's presidency. And so it looked to me, it looked like they thought they were pretty much there in terms of the takeover of the Republic. And thank God they had problems along the way. And one of them was the technology that we had invented. They didn't have a good communication technology for the whole planet. And they were stuck by the time Hillary had come to power. And they were so stuck that Hillary took the risk of cutting deals with Facebook during our litigation against Facebook, which is a crime, by the way. And even if she was exonerated by all of her illegal activity with the nonprofit organization during that time, Obama could not exonerate her from obstructing justice in the Leader v. Facebook case. So who knows? Perhaps our claim is the only legitimate claim they have left, since it appears that Obama gave her a carte blanche for everything else that they were doing.
I think you're right. We need to have a military tribunal, and it's going to first go like this. General Mad Dog Mattis, you have already broken all of your security agreements by revealing privileged conversations with the president. You've lied. You worked with Rod Rosenstein to try to overthrow the president when you with the 25th Amendment. You tried to turn the National Security Council against him. You tried to turn Pence against Trump so that you could actually overthrow with a soft coup. But then you went to a military coup, and that's when you then included and made sure that all the following people who had already been working against Trump anyway. So the National Security Council, that was Clapper. Clapper was working against Trump. He did his own investigation, fake Russian investigation. And he said he didn't agree with the FBI director Comey because Comey did his own, because Comey had fouled them up so bad Clapper didn't even want to be part of it. So you don't have
any... Can I inject about Comey? Comey was the chief counsel at HSBC in London. Pilgrim Society all the way.
Oh, yes. So what I'm painting here is the insurrection. This is the treasonous coup d'etat, both soft coup, hard coup, political coup, economic coup, and now it's a pharmaceutical coup. It was an impeachment coup, and it went on, and it involved all the people. Obama and Biden were there. They knew all about it. We have that in Susan Rice's memo, and we have it in the evidence of other people who said, yes, it went straight to the top. So you have the White House, president, the vice president, and all his people. So they have to be brought before the military tribunal. Clapper and his National Security Council and the people below him, yes. FBI, Comey, and then later McCabe and Rosenstein. Rosenstein, we have him saying, as a joke, he's going to take a wire in to the White House to try to trip Trump up like they did with General Flynn. General Flynn was part of the National Security Council, DIA, and he was honest. They had to kick him out. So there's a whole group of military people who literally did, now we know, gather with Mad Dog Mattis, and Mad Dog thought he was going to take over. Now, that would also include Sally Yates with the DOJ, Loretta Lynch with the DOJ, John Kerry with the Secretary of State. It would include Admiral Rogers with the NSA. They were all complicit. CIA with John Brennan. All of the agencies that were part of the three examinations of whether Trump was colluding with Russia, they were trying to make up the evidence. That's part of who has to be arrested and brought before a military tribunal, not the Department of Justice. They're a bunch of criminals right now. Sorry, but Barr has done nothing, and he was ex-CIA, so I have to assume he was complicit with this all along. That's why he took the job. So what do we have here? We have These are, this was a military, foreign military actors, and anyone who's an SES member who is taking their orders from outside of America, which most of them are, and not from the president, which we see that, that's called the resistance. Every one of them is part of this coup. They have to go before a military tribunal. Now, if they hold certain offices and if they have certain security clearances, you don't have to go through all the civil processes. This was described by Barr when he said there's three ways that the you can actually bring people up for treason. Civil and two military types, and so there's a crossover, and a civil type. So we're going to do all three of them because we have to get the whole group. And of course, Hillary Clinton was the leader of all of this. And what we see here,
Matt, can I stop you there?
Mad Dog had to jump in because he could see how bad it had gone that it had been revealed that the Clinton Global Initiative was the worst violation of the emolument clauses in U.S. history.
Yeah. You said that Hillary was the leader of this. I think she was definitely one of the leaders, but we see now that Volcker and Kissinger were really directing her. And she was probably an empty suit who just got up and read the teleprompter. And that's all she knew how to do. But when you talk about all these military people, you're talking about people who run the Navy and all of our air-breathing and non-air-breathing communication satellites. And you're talking about the people who run our telecommunications operation and our internet. And what they have been doing, and we now know this for a fact, is they've been surveilling all Americans since the 70s. And we have hard evidence of that now, including one of my former directors, General James Freeze, who actually was the general who started Operation Echelon. And when you talk about how they use their knowledge to undermine our republic, what is clear is that how much more do we need to know before we either bring these people up on treason charges or give in to their strategy, just rejoin the British Empire? Because I don't think we have any other options at this point.
The beauty of it is they're such idiots, the people we are fighting against, that when John Brennan came to power at the CIA, he wrote right out of the books the fact that there could be such a thing as a radical Islamic terrorist. He literally said, all Muslims are peaceful. And by the way, I believe he became a Muslim when he was in Riyadh as the head of the CIA agent office there. So what we have here is pharmaceutical terrorism. Thank you, John Brennan and Robert Mueller, because on 9/11, what happened was, as Betsy said, it was, of course, controlled demolitions. We know that because Silverstein bought the building. He bought all the buildings, and he made sure that he had a separate insurance policy on each one of them, and he bought buildings that had been condemned. There was so much asbestos at the World Trade Center. I remember watching it as it was built. I was literally on the roof of it before they, as soon as they let people. So the asbestos in the metal and the steel couldn't be taken out. It had to be taken down, and they didn't want to have that expense. So he made unbelievable amounts of money. Well, how did he do that? So we could go into all of that. But the thing is, that was the Bush family manipulating fake Brady Durham bonds so that they could bring the USSR down again and again, and the satellite countries when they were stealing the gold. So it had to do with economics on one level that showed that our republic had been taken away by the people in the White House, the people in the Senate and the House of Representatives and the Supreme Court. Our federal government has been overthrown by criminal foreign military actors who are, in fact, now moving to a hard coup. And we have to use the rules that Robert Mueller created along with John Brennan and Comey, which was, we only focus on terrorism. Well, this is pharmaceutical terrorism. This is economic terrorism that brought down the World Trade Centers. And what we have to realize, we are in a vaccine war. All Trump has to say is, I'm going to now institute martial law with these beautiful executive orders that Obama set up for Hillary, and I'm going to stop the pharmaceutical terrorism going on. I'm going to annihilate the new intelligence agencies that have taken over the world with pharmaceutical hegemony. That would be the World Health Organization, the CDC, and the NIH, which he has implied as much on the first two. And as soon as this thing calms down, and they start to look at the fact, as we pointed out in the article, they're not looking for any treatments or any cures. They're not looking to help anyone. They only want vaccine, pharmaceutical, mega billion dollar, worldwide hegemonic contracts. And that is a fact. So that is an attack on us.
We need to add to that list. We've got to seize back control of our patent office. We've got to seize control of our banking and monetary controls. So in addition to the vaccine, there's a lot of work that's got to be done. It's not going to be easy, but we've got to start somewhere. And right now, our republic is running away from everything that we thought we had. And I don't see it stopping now. As an engineer, I look for clues as to how how sturdy a structure is. And what I see now is our foundation has crumbled. The building is falling into the dirt, and it is leaning to one side and is about ready to topple over. That's where I see us.
And that's exactly where they wanted us, because this then collapses into their one world government and their currency and everything. And I just want to remind folks out there that the pilgrims have used America to create the terror that we have seen in the world today for decades. And this is not just a problem in the United States. It's a problem for the whole world. Yes. We all have to get behind this election in November, get Trump over that finish line. We've got to call martial law. We've got to be stern parents to shape up and ship out the garbage that has collected in our world and reset things. And it can be a better day and it can be done, but we need brave, bold patriots like you and Douglas out there leading the charge.
So true. So true, Betsy. And remember that Bill Gates is the Queen's man. He's Soros's man. He's Hillary's man. He's the Wellcome Trust Fund man. He's Cecil Rhodes' hero. And he's the best eugenicist that we have in public, acting like he's a doctor, committing crimes. And every time he speaks, he commits crimes because he's practicing medicine without a license. And he's doing it underneath the auspices of, charitable foundations through philanthropy. So as long as you're rich enough to give money to the CDC and the NIH and the World Health Organization, then you will get the contracts for the vaccines. As a matter of fact, let's remember, every one of the companies working on a vaccine was paid amazing amounts of money. That's the reason AstraZeneca got paid all that money, and now they don't even think that their vaccine can go forward with its first study. Why did we pay them?
We think there's multiple people doing vaccine studies. I don't think so. I think they're all waiting for Oxford to send them the next phase. It's one place. It's called the Perbright Institute, and Oxford is running it. And there aren't other choices. They're going to they have so many interlocking relationships among Moderna and Wellcome and Pfizer and Seema Geigy, and you just go on and on. We think we're getting multiple vaccines. I don't think so. I think we're getting one.
There has been a vaccine for coronaviruses that has been around for a long time. And I believe that's what the Russians simply did, was they just took that and said they had a vaccine. And that's why I haven't seen the testing on it, especially the breakdown of the genomes of the DNA of this virus vaccine that they have, but because they're always live viruses. But what I'm saying is also that these Moderna, okay? Oh, Moderna's getting close. Pfizer's getting close. Oh, Johnson & Johnson, everybody's getting close so they can get billions of dollars. And like you say, as you pointed out, and the researchers who found it, Perbright Institute has the patent on coronavirus, which means they had to have taken a coronavirus and modified it so they could get a patent. And if they did that, then that's just one of the coronaviruses, like swine flu, like any of the ones that they've been releasing each year, just to see how many people they could kill. And so, the bird flu, swine flu, and now we have coronavirus. That's all the same thing. So, of course, they have a vaccine for it. Of course, Perb Wright would never have released it in China.
But when you say a vaccine, here's one of the things with my engineer question. From what I understand about vaccines is that every time a virus enters a new body, it mutates. So that the vaccine the virus that would come out of me to someone else would not be the same as the virus that I acquired. Is that true or not?
That's absolutely true.
Okay. So if that's the case, then any vaccine is going to be created from an existing virus that will mutate the moment it goes to another host. Is that correct?
Okay. Yeah, that's correct.
Okay. So that being the case, vaccines are kabuki theater, aren't they?
Correct.
Are there any real, we assume that a vaccine is good because we've been so embedded with propaganda that it's good. But in fact, it sounds like a silver bullet that never can be. Is that incorrect?
That's correct. And any doctor will tell you there has never been an effective vaccine against a coronavirus, an influenza virus. Otherwise, we would have one, wouldn't we? Because every year they give out a new flu vaccine, but it's a different one every year, usually taken from flus from previous years. And as you say, the second that it hits a person, it's like everyone with HIV, okay, with AIDS, HIV, has a different viral signature. It's individualized with each person. Same thing with most coronaviruses. Now, there are enteroviruses that look the same. Let's take polio. So when polio, polio was almost extinguished from the world, and then he gave out his polio vaccine, and now 400,000 people have polio in India, and they're suing him. Any live virus inside an attempt to, which is any vaccine is going to have a live virus in it, right? That means you're going to give yourself the illness. So to supposedly not get the illness, you give yourself the illness. And the theory is you create the antibiotics for a little bit of it so that you're strong in case you get the full virus and you get really sick, that you will have built up the immunity for it. That's the reason they take the virions and the, the rehabilitated plasma from people who've had it and recovered, because then they have the antibiotics and then they're giving those people those antibiotics. They do it with blood. They do it with feces. They do it with all kinds of things. So if you have fought an illness and got over it, they believe that's the best you can have, the very best. But here's what they're hiding. Not one word in our recent report can find a single reference to anything that the CDC, World Health Organization, or the NIH does, or anybody in the Department of Health or Human Services, that isn't a vaccine or an immunization. Not a word about treatment. Not a word about the 30 different virion treatments that are already medicines in countries around the world that are having great success with it. Not a word about taking quinine, which was what people in India would do. They'd get it on the street corner. They'd take quinine anytime they got a fever because they thought they had malaria a certain season. So when the soldiers, the officers, to get over the Spanish flu, started drinking tonic water because it had chimchura bark in it, which is quinine, it cured them of it. But is anyone telling you that taking hydroxychloroquine and zinc and D3, sunlight, or quinine could be the preventative that you would never even get ill? That's not even allowed in this country.
I heard President Trump say that.
He took it. I took it.
I mean, he said it. I've heard him talk about it. But you're right. I mean, it's definitely suppressed or censored. And it's difficult to get. Last night on the PBS, they did a whole show on CRISPR. Are you familiar with CRISPR?
CRISPR is the fake DNA testing they're doing on to find COVID, where it, in fact, by the man who invented it, says CRISPR cannot do. CRISPR is to use DNA to rewrite what it is that you wish to change on DNA in whatever DNA target you're aiming at. And this is used to manipulate all kinds of things, but it cannot tell you that you have coronavirus 19, period. It can't.
Well, this was talking about a mechanism that would actually change your DNA to make you immune from future. The theory is from future viruses. And I just got to laugh when I think about that. When you're on the cutting edge of R&D and you think about all the possibilities that might be for your invention, your assessments could be right. It could be wrong. Are we going to bet the farm on the future of humanity on these theories of what might be about a future vaccine that doesn't exist? I mean, this is just ludicrous.
Plus, you must suspect the evil. Here's what really happened with that. Chromosome 8 determines your intelligence. They're now saying that if they can manipulate chromosome 8, they can stop you from having coronavirus. Wrong, they're going to stop you from thinking. And this has been predicted by people for a long time. And it was even stated in some military presentations on the number one thing that they were after. An injection, a vaccine that will stop you from being able to think. That's chromosome 8. That's what the CRISPR is being used for. It's used for recombinant DNA. It's used for manipulating synthetic DNA and writing on DNA. And they can write anything they want on DNA.
Well, here's the thing. And so that's interesting, Mike. Did you say, well, why would they want to do this? Because the purpose of the vaccine is to protect us. Well, you see, that's where I get stuck and I'm so tired of spin. Here's the facts, folks. The Pilgrim Society is running a global genocide operation on all of us. They've been rolling it out for centuries. You track it all the way back to Cecil Rhodes, probably even back to the Venetian bankers, for all I know. But once you understand that's what's really going on, you clearly see that these vaccines have nothing to do with protection and health. It has everything to do with compliance, control, and extermination of humanity. Now, wake up, people. Get your head out of Fox News and all these other places that are spinning you around with the drama of the day that makes no difference to us. We've got to put our efforts and look at who is doing this to our planet. It's the Pilgrim Society. There's a list of people there. We need to get that list. We need the membership list of the Pilgrim Society, and we need to hold them as terrorists of the entire world. And I know these names are going to be big, important names you've lived with, like a Henry Kissinger and Dick Cheney and the Bushes, but they are traitorous, treasonous SOBs who want to take out all of humanity. They must be eliminated.
Right. Adding to your list, Alexander Haig, for some of the older folks here, Alexander Haig, Caspar Weinberger, Burns, the former head of the Fed. We've had the Pilgrims inside the White House for pretty consistently since Wilson. And certainly we see in the Nixon White House, when they went off the gold standard, that all or almost all of his cabinet were Pilgrim Society members. So we've been hijacked for a long time. I mean, it's a miracle we're even here talking about it. I thank God every day for now what we know about our society, that we're still able to talk and haven't been overcome. And I think that says a lot about the power of the Holy Spirit to move against these people and to protect us and our society from these evil people. But they are very close now, and I think they're going for broke. I think they're trying to stay ahead of the sheriff, and we need the sheriff to declare martial law.
Well, Trump has sunk their boat. I mean, in what he's done, the Fed is now, everybody sees it's just a tool of the Brits, and that it is a foreign intervention in our country and it needs to end. And if you can run up $25 trillion in debt, then it's all fake. So he just caused them to run up $10 trillion more, and the government ran up another $5 trillion. And what does it matter? Doesn't seem to affect anything. Proving that taxes and the IRS is there to help the big corporations evade taxes and avoid taxes and not pay taxes. That's just a fact, because the IRS can look at just the major wealth in America, and they wouldn't have to do any study to figure out that tax evasion was going on. So we have solutions. Here it is. Very simple solutions. We have to have military tribunals stating that there's treason going on at all level of the federal government. First thing we have to do, eradicate any association with the United Nations. Give them no more money. Do not follow anything. They are foreign agents trying to take us down.
And yeah, it's the British.
They're the British. Exactly. So then we have to say to the Fed, there's ways to do it, but essentially we say, you're no longer in control of us. We don't owe you anything. And then he has to go after the intelligence agencies. They brag there's 11 of them. Then he needs to put all 11 of them on trial by the military, not by the DOJ, because the DOJ has to be on trial. I've named all these people who were criminals who were there doing it. Then they have to go after the paramilitary organization that is the resistance against Trump and is fighting and defeating our republic. And that's the senior executive service members, what I like to call the British aristocracy in DC. So we have to get rid of them. And then you have to say, sorry, Catholic Church, you've been involved in so much fraud, no more tax exempt for you. Sorry, non-government organization supported by Soros, no more existence for you. As a matter of fact, we may have to go after you and disgorge you and charge you for all your fraud and all the money that you supposedly spent for everyone in America when you were in fact working as foreign agents against everyone in America. So get rid of the tax exempt for churches, especially the fraudulent ones. Get rid of the tax exempt for the wealthy, because that's what's going on. We need to have a different restructuring of the IRS. And Trump has done that. He's saying, hey, we're going to give you back your payroll tax. Hey, I'm going to give you all this money. Because why? Because I can. Because it's always been fake. There is no free market. And capitalism at this point, if you look at America, is a failure. So we need That's to correct. Stand back and say, this is no longer a capitalistic free market society. This is a group of elites who have taken over our constitutional republic. So it's very simple. He has that authority. Why? He needs to throw out the DOJ and hire his own special counsel that makes a determination with people that he trusts that this can't even go to a federal court, that it has to go to a military court. So he gets that justification. And then he goes by simply looking at the evidence that has been presented by Americans for Innovation and Aim for Truth. All you have to do is look at this evidence. It's there. Anyone could try these people. And they're going to have to be found, like Hillary Clinton and all of her foreign associations and her emolument and her fake foundations and all the crimes and Benghazi and her email scandal and working with George Soros and the evil she has done. These people will have to be tried. I know that certain people want them hung, shot, or locked up forever. Trump has said that if the Republicans did the Democrats what they did to him, and some of them were Republicans who did it to him, the coup against Trump, 50 years in prison for treason. No, I think that if they are in any way connected to the military, they need to meet the military standard for treason, which is death. Now, that can be done in different ways. And as I said, there's three different ways that you can go after them. So all Trump has to do is, after the election, declare a special type of emergency. And this emergency would be claiming that the Republic is under assault actively, and then do the things that we just said. Set up your own tribunals with people that you trust in the military and people who create the foundational law for you to be able to do that, which hasn't been done much in this country, but it can be. Tribunals can be.
Point out that when Hurricane Katrina hit, the state of Louisiana declared martial law, and we provided the only working emergency management communication system that they had for several months. And so I observed up front and close, and here we had the Red Cross coming in, the Army Corps of Engineers, the FEMA. We were managing the communications for all of our emergency management agencies, and we were watching how martial law works. So it can work. It worked in Louisiana. They did recover. And we ended up getting paid for our time, not by FEMA, who kept stonewalling us, but by the Secretary of controller in Louisiana at the time, who took it upon himself to take care of those that had taken care of them when the federal government was just dropping the ball left and right. So martial law can work, and I think has to happen now.